Good afternoon, good evening, everybody. It's great to see the church. It's great to see y'all. And tonight we're going to be doing something. It's going to be a little bit different from a normal midweek class, at least in this room. And so I'm going to ask that people move forward. We're going to be forming groups for a discussion, and you need to be close so that you can be in a group. I'd hate for you to miss out. So move forward. We're going to be forming seven different groups, and we're going to in those groups going to come up with some good spiritual insights. See how that works. This is great. Y'all, I appreciate you guys moving up. This is looking great. This will work. So before we begin the class, let's have a prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your power in our lives. We thank you for your promises. We're thankful that that you work in our lives to bring about your will. Father, I pray that as we talk tonight about your word and learn from it and learn from one another, Father, that you will help us to identify ways that we can grow and be closer to you, and that we can move forward in our spiritual lives as we anticipate being with you one day in heaven. We love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So hopefully most of us remember a few weeks ago we did a class on the topic of the narrow road. Remember that out of Matthew 7? And one of the things that Jesus said in that passage was basically, you'll know them by their fruits. You'll know his people by their fruits, okay? You know, it says, good tree can't bear bad fruit. Bad tree can't bear good fruit, right? So if you're bearing bad fruit, you'll be cut off and thrown into the fire and burned. And then he said, you know, so therefore you'll recognize them by their fruits. And of course, you know, we read something like that, or we hear Jesus teaching on that, and we say, you know, I want to bear good fruit. Okay, help me know how to do that. What is that? But tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to get really practical. We're going to talk about something you can do, so that at the end of having done this, you're going to have made progress towards being more like Jesus. You're going to have a greater assurance of your salvation. You're going to be, you know, feel, you know, this is working for me. I am really getting where God wants me to go. And so that's what this is about. You know, this is something we can do. We can bear good fruit. You know, we know that, but for several reasons. One, because God works in us, right? God can do it. God, you know, the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit, right? God produces, he works in our character as we become more and more like him, as we behold his image. So secondly, we can do this because God doesn't ask us to do things that we can't do, right? God made us. He knows what we're made to do. He calls us to that life. We can do what God calls us to do. There's nothing impossible about that. And, you know, we can learn from the great examples in Scripture about how to become like Jesus. How, you know, what are the different people? And, you know, what I want us to do is to turn over now, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read about some things that Peter was calling the people to grow in their lives. He says, if you do these things, great things will come to you. Okay? So we're going to look at that. And, you know, think about Peter. This was at the end of his life. Well, it's probably, you know, it's obviously the last letter he wrote. He wrote 1 Peter. He wrote 2 Peter. But this was written towards the latter end of his life in all likelihood. And so he's saying, okay, what are the most important things? What can I say to the people? And, you know, you can see as you read through this, you're going to see he had on his heart, I want these people to make it. Let me give them some practical advice to help them to make it. And let me encourage them to follow that advice and help them to see what will be theirs if they will follow that advice. So that's what we're going to look at, and we're going to try to gain those same things for us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You know, He's given us all this great stuff so that we can participate in the divine nature. What does that mean? We can become like God. We can add these virtues into our lives that He calls us to. We can escape the corruption of the world from our evil desires. You know, that's something, you know, if you love God, if you want to please God, if you look at your life, if you're like, you know, we were reading in the Beatitudes where, you know, if you're one of those people who mourns for your sin, you hunger and thirst for righteousness, this is good news. You can do that. He's telling you He's going to give you everything you need to do that. He has given you everything you need to do that. Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? That is a great promise. Very practical. It says, here's a list of things you need to be adding to your life. You need to be having these things in increasing measure. You need to grow in these things, okay? And if you'll do those things, you'll never fall away. That's great news. That means you get to go to heaven. Right? You know, you'll have a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's going to be great. And you think about what's that going to be like. It's going to be worth all the effort, isn't it? And it's going to take some effort. He says, make every effort to add these things, right? This is the practical way you want to grow, you want to add these things. This is what you want to be like. This is the good fruit that Jesus wants to see born in your life, okay? It's not an exclusive list, but it's a great list. You know, if you were adding all these things, I think he's telling the truth. I think if you add all these things, if you're growing in these things, you're not going to fall away, and you're going to receive a rich welcome. So I'm going to give a football analogy here. And yeah, I know I don't look like much of a football player, and I'm not, never was. But maybe if there's a football, I don't see Kendall in the audience. Maybe he's teaching. But you know, here's the thing: life is like a football game. Kendall would be saying amen right now. You know, in this game, we have the ball, okay? We don't know how long the field is, but we know there's a touchdown at the end of it, right? We don't know how long the field is, but we know that we just need to keep making first downs, don't we? We need to keep making progress down the field. You know, we've got to be careful that we don't turn the ball over, and we've got to keep making progress. We've got to gain ground, right? We've got to grow. That's what this passage is all about. We don't know how long the football field is. What we do know is that in the last, we don't even know what quarter we're in or how many quarters there are, you know. But at the end of the game, he's going to take the defense off the field and we're going to waltz into the end zone, right? He's already told us that. All we got to do is don't turn the ball over and keep making progress down the field. You got to keep making first downs, okay? So that's there's my football analogy for the day. I hope that works for you. All right. So I like watching football, but it's football season, so there you go. There you have it. Okay, so, but, you know, look in 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Peter, notice who Peter's writing this to. He says, Simon Peter, a servant of the apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. So what does that tell you? We just read something, add to your faith, all these different things, right? But he's writing to these people already have faith, right? Of course, you can grow in faith. There's nothing wrong with that. But he's really talking about some character things you can add to your faith. Faith is a given, okay? I'm trusting right now that you guys have faith. Where does faith come from? You pray for it, you read the Word of God, and God gives it to you, right? And you grow, your faith grows. But basically, what we're going to be looking at is what are these seven things that he calls on us to add. He talks about adding goodness. Okay? You know, that could be, well, Kendall, I just got through talking about you. You missed my football analogy. I'll tell you later. So there's seven things we should add. The first one being goodness. And goodness, you know, that's moral excellence, okay? That means I want to be excellent morally at everything. There's no carelessness in any aspect of my life, okay? I'm going to go, make a tangent here and go on to a little advertisement, commercial, whatever. Parking in the fire zone is not an example of goodness, okay? Goodness says, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to follow the rules. I'm going to do what people expect. I'm going to comply with the law. I'm going to just be a good example of what I ought to do, all right? Let's don't be parking in the fire zone anymore. You know, white line on the left, white line on the right, goes up to a curb, okay? That's a parking lot, parking space. You know what a parking space looks like. Okay, I'm off that tangent. Let's fix that problem here and on Sundays also. Okay, goodness is moral excellence. I want to be sure that I do the right thing, okay? Knowledge. I think we kind of know what knowledge is. But this is specifically, of course, talking about knowledge of God, knowledge of his word, knowledge of his will. You know, figuring out what does he want for my life. You know, that's part of knowledge, applying the knowledge. So we want to grow in goodness. We want to grow in knowledge. Self-control. What's self-control? Okay. Self-control is where your body wants to do one thing, but your spirit wants to do something else. Where you have the cravings of the flesh trying to draw you over here, but you've got a principle that you're trying to live by, and you say no to the flesh because I'm going to follow the principle. That is what self-control is. So that's something that maybe we need to grow in sometimes, but it's certainly one of the things that he says, if you will add this to your faith and your goodness and your knowledge, add some self-control in there, and it needs to grow. Okay, we need to have self-control. We need to not be led by the spirit, by the flesh, but by the spirit. Okay, that's self-control. Perseverance. Everybody knows what perseverance is? You know, we have challenges in our life, right? Satan tries to knock us off the narrow path, doesn't he? Sometimes God gives us trials to strengthen us, to help us, to test us. Okay, perseverance says, I'm going to make it through those trials. You know, you're trying to make that first down going down the field. Maybe you got tackled for a loss, okay? You don't just walk off the field now, right? You get up and you try to gain that yardage back and then some, right? So perseverance, you just get back up and you run another play, right? Okay, godliness. Now, there's a religious word that we don't throw around a lot, or maybe we don't have a lot of, you want to know precisely what is that. You know, I think godliness is basically, it's a continual awareness of God. It's walking with God. It's fearing God. It's submitting to God. That's what a godly person does. They're walking with God. They're aware of God in everything they're doing. God is a part of their life. God is in their mind, on their heart. God is a factor in every step they take in their life. That's a godly person, okay? So we need to be adding godliness to our lives. Brotherly kindness. You know, again, I think this is one we kind of have an understanding of it. It's doing kind things for other people. Things that are not to your benefit, but to their benefit. It's where you're not thinking about what's in it for me, you're thinking about what they need. Okay, brotherly kindness. You're sacrificing yourself on behalf of somebody else's needs. That's brotherly kindness. Okay, and love. Okay, you know, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That's how we know what love is, right? And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Obviously, love and brotherly kindness, there's some overlap there. But we need to be growing in those things. And love is sort of the ultimate of all of those things, right? It's the greatest commandment, is to love God and to love our brothers, our neighbors, ourselves. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Okay, so those are the seven things he wants us to add. Now, what I'm going to do in a little while is I'm going to ask you to pick one of those that you're going to work on for the next month. You know, people say that, and I've read this somewhere, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I think there's some truth in it. It takes you a month to establish a habit, pretty much any habit, or to break a habit, okay? At least a month, okay? But you need a month. So I'm going to ask you to spend a month focusing on one of these. Pick one. And I want you to go through the Bible and look at what does the Bible say about that word. But I want you also to look at some examples of people who are exemplifying that virtue. People in the Bible. And of course, you could say, okay, Jesus did this. Yeah, Jesus had goodness. Jesus had knowledge. Jesus had self. And that's true. Okay, and we all should be, seeking to be like Jesus. Those are great examples. What I want you to do, though, and I'm going to talk, we're going to break up and work on this in a minute, is to think of who are some mere mortals who exemplify these things. Because, face it, you and I are mere mortals, right? And it's inspiring to me when I see somebody like me that can do that, right? Yeah, it's inspiring when I see Jesus, but sometimes it's intimidating when I see Jesus do those things and he's so far different from me. And I want to be like Jesus. And don't get me wrong, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. But my point here is, let's encourage ourselves by seeing some mere mortals that are also doing these things, okay? So that's what we're going to do. What I want to do is divide up the room into seven groups, one for each of these virtues. And what you'll do in your group is you'll have a little conversation. You'll see if you can come up with one or two your favorite examples of that virtue anywhere in the Bible. Come up with a passage. And then after we've had maybe 5-10 minutes, we'll see how long that takes to work on that. Then we'll go around to each of the groups, and each group will get a chance to share what you've come up with. So does that sound like a good plan? Y'all on? Y'all in? So what we're going to do... let me just kind of see how many rows we got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So we're going to have about a couple of rows, three rows. We're going to have about three rows for each one. So let me walk down here and kind of assign. And what I want you to do, the first thing I want you to do is pick a brother who can be your spokesperson. Okay? Once you've picked your spokesperson, then y'all start your conversation about scriptures. And we'll take the temperature in a few minutes and see if we're done. Okay? So let's take three rows here. I'm going to carry the microphone with me. How about that? So this group will be goodness, the first three rows. And then these three rows, knowledge. Four rows? You want four rows? All right, y'all can have four rows. Knowledge. Goodness, knowledge. This is not real precise. Okay. Self-control, these three rows. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Perseverance, these three rows. Godliness. Let's see, how far have we gotten back? Godliness. Okay, godliness. Brotherly kindness. These guys. And everybody else, love, okay? Huddle up. You can stand up. Huddle up, pick a leader, and commence. This first exercise, everybody, is just take the topic that was assigned to your group. But you can pick one of the other ones to work on for a month, okay? This is just for to come up with the examples. You can sit where you are, but let's turn towards the front here and let's see what we got. So we're going to be, I would suggest that you take good notes here because this is going to be some good material for when you're going through this month, particularly on the one the one that you think you're going to work on. Take good notes on that one in particular so that you can go back and study that. But there's going to be good stuff here from everybody. All right, so who is our goodness? Who's going to speak up for goodness? Goodness. Okay.
All right, we came up with a lot of good stuff. It's a lot of good stuff. So we'll narrow it down, but we came up with Abigail, Joseph, Daniel, Moses, Tabitha, the noble woman. What? Who? What? Oh, okay. But I'm narrowing it down to just one, so I'm just giving you the quick summary, and Ruth. So the ones, though, that we wanted to narrow it down and the ones that we picked first was Moses. And it was specifically in Numbers 12, in verse 10. Says, when the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became white as snow. Aaron turned towards her and saw that she had a defiling disease and said to Moses, please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from her mother's womb, its flesh half eaten away. So Moses cried out to the Lord, please, God, heal her. And she had just, pretty much her and Aaron had just pretty much done an insurrection against Moses and just completely rebelled against him and his leadership. And he had the guts, the moral compass to say, you know what, despite what they did, I'm still going to be solid and I'm going to be good. I'm going to do what's right. And he pleaded for them before God. And so that shows a good character, a solid character that's just focused on God. And the other one that we chose was the noble woman in Proverbs 31. And she's always serving, always giving, always always making her husband look better than he really is. And not necessarily needing to be in the limelight for that. So that's goodness.
Thank you. A hand for the goodness group. Good job. I had, in my examples, I had Daniel. You can write down Daniel 1:8, basically Daniel being resolved not to eat the king's food. And I had David, just the whole chapter, Psalms 26. He just talks about how his heart to do the right thing. But there's lots of great examples. All right. Who then will speak up for knowledge? All right, here we go.
Knowledge. I'm going to start with 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So, yeah, we wrote down several things, but I'll narrow it down. Paul, I would say, is our number one guy for someone who exemplified knowledge in the scriptures. Not only did he have an incredible knowledge of the scriptures, which we see all over the place as he was talking to Jewish people who knew their Bible pretty well, but also he was willing to have knowledge of other cultures. And really, when you see that in Acts 17, you see him speaking to those in Athens. He knows their culture. So he had knowledge of their culture to be able to reach out to them in a more effective way. I think something we can do is go to douglasjacoby.com. Honestly, if you've never been there, that's something that really helped me grow in knowledge quite a bit. He does that full time. He puts all his effort into researching almost any topic you can think of. He puts it on the website. You can have the scriptures there, and you can go search it out for yourself. So that's very helpful, and he's a very wise man who loves God. So that's what we got.
Amen. Thank you. Great to hear that from the knowledge group. Okay. I had picked Apollos, and you can read about him in Acts 18, verses 24 to 28. Basically, he had a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. You know, we can all strive to do that. All right. The self-control group is next. Who has the self-control? Okay. Do we have two self-control groups? Well, we'll... I'm here. We'll let Grady go.
All right. For us, we had... We chose Paul. We talked about David and Paul. And if you look over at 1 Corinthians 9:24, you know, it talks about the need for self-discipline. You know, Paul talks about running the race, and of course, you know, you got to have discipline to do that. And our scripture here that was more convicting was 24. And it says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself would not be disqualified for the prize.
All right. So we have self-control part B. Is that right? Okay. We indulged in self-control.
So we thought about Joseph and kind of two examples in his life. The first is in Genesis 39 when he reneges the advances of Potiphar's wife and decides to flee instead of sleeping with her. And then also in Genesis 50, verses 15 through the end, where he, even though he's been given a position of power and his brothers sold him into slavery, he says he has no intention of ever harming them for that or anything like that. And just, you know, learning from a position of power, even though you have that, to have the self-control to deal with people and with all the goodness and, you know, grace and things like that. So,
great. Great examples. Thank you. So, and my example of self-control was David when he did not slay Saul, even though Saul was trying to slay him. Okay? And so a passage for that is 1 Samuel 26, verses 7 to 10. Okay, perseverance, okay.
Yeah, George, there you go. So first thing we did when we did perseverance was get the definition. That's funny. I heard that. I did hear that. I'm not the definition. But so perseverance, steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Never thought about that. Synonyms: persistence, tenacity, determination, staying power, steadfastness, and purposefulness. In that light, we came up with probably 15 names, I think, at least 15. And we came across, the top two were Job and Joseph. And I'm going to read two scriptures in that regard. Job 121, probably one of the greatest in the Bible. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Amen. Ultimate perseverance scripture right there. And Joseph, I think somebody, we already, it was caught up, but Genesis 50, 20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives.
Amen. Great examples. Perseverance. I had troubles narrowing it down like everybody else, but I picked Paul. 2 Corinthians 11 talks about all the struggles he went through, verses 23 through 29. So Paul persevered through some tough things. So anyway, but good stuff. Godliness, this idea of being walking with God. Who was the spokesman for godliness? Okay.
All right. So we had godliness, and kind of jumping off what Alan said, obviously, submitting to God, walking with God, constantly just having God on your mind. And so we had a lot of examples, but the two examples that we focused on, one was Enoch and the other was Jacob. And Enoch, we had Genesis 28:16. I'm sorry, Jacob was Genesis 28:16, and Enoch was Genesis 5:22. And I'll read that one just in a second. Sorry about that. Right. I know it's a scripture we're all familiar with, but it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he had became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. So all those parents, we know once we have children, we really want to start walking with God. He said, walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. So those are the two examples, obviously, with Enoch and then Jacob.
Thank you. All right. And for godliness, I had David again, you know. Psalm 119, oh, how I love your law. He basically walks, you know, he thinks about it all the time. He's focused on God. Okay. Brotherly kindness. Where's the kindness? Okay.
Lord, tell us about it. So, yeah, so we defined it also, like perseverance did, but a little differently. We decided that you have to put some skin on it, so try to understand it from a personal, how do you do brotherly kindness? What is that? And so what we decided was, it's first, you have to actually talk to somebody in order to have brotherly kindness. Yes, and this really came true with this group I was with. I think they really got this deep down inside themselves about what this is. That probably won't be something that they'll be working on. And the reason I say this, because the next thing was, we talked about, not only you have to talk about it, but then you have to meet those needs. So it was both verbal and action was what brotherly kindness is. And so what are the needs? How do you meet them? How do you get to know? And then the other thing was, you have to spend time together to figure all these things out. So it takes a lot of effort, which was the very first thing that Peter talked about. These things come with effort. So that's what we talked about. And then we talked about examples of who had done this. And you can't talk about brothers and kindness without talking about Joseph. You know, he's got three brothers that he really should not have been kind to. Yet, in spite of that, he was extremely kind to them. He taught them in ways that were just amazing. And so he was an example of brotherly kindness that just was extreme to us and something we wanted to excel to be like. And he's been brought up a lot by a lot of different groups. But in this example, I thought he was amazingly good. And then the other example was David, right, with his friend Joshua. I mean, Jonathan. Yeah, get it right. Jonathan. So those two were told by their dad, the king, to not like each other because the king wanted to kill David, right? So we've got a relationship brewing in the same house that the king is opposed to. And yet they had extreme brotherly affection and love for each other. What a great example in spite of difficulties. I mean, the king... They still persevered and became very good, affectionate brothers. So there we go.
Amen. Thank you. Brotherly kindness. Yeah, Joseph's one of my favorite Bible characters. You know, he's a great study. You could spend a lifetime studying Joseph and trying to imitate him because he was so much like God. So my example in brotherly kindness was, I cheated a little bit. I used a hypothetical person who was the Good Samaritan in Jesus' parable. But I think that was a great example. Sherry also said I should put down Tabitha, okay, which is Acts 9:36. Okay, so we're down to the final group, and that would be the group that came up with the examples for love, and that would be Kendall. And I've already given a football analogy, so it's too late.
The Oregon Ducks. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, first of all, we're doing love, and it talks about love is patient in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is kind; it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angry, it keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Always trusts, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And so obviously a lot of folks have mentioned our hero of love. We had a lot of people that we sorted through here. Joseph, Paul, Proverbs 31 wife, John 15, and when the son of thunder became the son of love, and of course Abraham. But our choice was Joseph because of he was the guy who really just through his history, and you know, talking about John 50, when it looks at verses 15 through 20 and how gracious he was and how much he decided to love. And it's difficult to love based on all he's been through. So we talked about that. Then, of course, we talked about the Apostle Paul, which was encouraging. I want to read that. in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is adoption to sonship. Theirs is divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from there is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. So we felt that was a great character to pick based on his deep love for the church as well.
Thank you. Thanks to all the groups for your great insights and surveying the scripture for these examples. My example for love was Paul in with the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 6 through 12, talking about how he showed his love to that church. So, you know, we've talked about these seven virtues, and I hope as you've been doing that, you've been thinking about which one of these might I pick to focus on for the next month, to try to learn more about it, but to try to implement more about it, to try to change my life in this area, to add it in my character, to add to what's already in my character, you know, and to grow. You know, hopefully you've picked one. Now would be a good time, if you haven't already, to write it down. Which one are you going to do? Write it on a piece of paper. Write it on your iPhone or whatever it is you write things on. And then when we break up, tell somebody. Find somebody in the room and tell them what you're going to work on. And carry on a conversation with them throughout the month. Say, here's what I've done. Here's what I've read. Here are the things that happened, the things that I did. Here's, you know, the victories and the less than victories. But here's what I've done with it. So you've written it down. You've told somebody in the room. And I would recommend starting your day by reading about that virtue in the Bible. You know, you don't have to spend an hour studying it, but find something in the Bible about it, read it, and say, okay, today I'm going to put that in my life. Look at the examples. There's been a number of them mentioned here. You can find your own. There's lots of them, actually. And you know, talk about it with people throughout the month. So, you know, let's make every effort. You know, and for the next month, you know, I think it would be a great exercise if you wanted to... maybe you could call this extra credit. I don't know. But I think this is really what Peter is asking us to do. You know, pick a month and do it on each one. You know, next month, another one. Next month, another one. And just to make sure that you've added, you know, you've been through 7 months. You've added all seven. You've grown in seven spiritual areas. And, you know, you can look back on that and say, you know, he says if these things are in your life in increasing measure, you will never fall away. And you can look at yourself and say, I have that promise. I need to continue that. But yes, I've spent these last 7 months changing my life in ways that are going to keep me from falling away and are going to help me to receive this rich welcome when I get to heaven. So, you know, in verses 10 and 11 here, we'll just finish up here. He says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's close with a prayer. Father, again, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for how practical it is. Thank you for all the examples that you provided us in the scriptures to help us to know what it looks like. Father, help us to spend the next month growing in the virtues that you've put before us. Father, help us to make our calling election sure and to have that rich welcome into your eternal kingdom. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.